It's already Thanksgiving week. I mean, it feels like November just started, and we are approaching Thanksgiving on Thursday, which means these next three shows have we got to pack the punch, man. We got to drop a lot of stuff in here for the next 3 days because we're off on Thursday, of course, Thanksgiving. But guess what? We got football all day long on KFKA, NFL programming. So we'll have games for you all day. That way, you know, if you're sitting around, you don't want to have the TV on, you're outside doing stuff with the fam, whatever, keep the radio on in the background and we'll have the games for you. So that'll be good. And then Friday we're off too. So, you know, we'll be back at it on a Monday and we'll see what happens. Man, what a weekend. Football pretty much stays consistent with being bad, save for the Buffs. Sorry, Michael. They beat... You look so sad back there.
Washington's already given up.
Oh, maybe the Buffs have too. But I asked the question at the beginning of every season: who's going to have the most wins between CU, CSU, and UNC on the football side? Well, is it going to be CU? They got four. The Bears finished with three wins. They're done. And the Rams play Nevada this weekend. So, and the Buffs still have one more shot. They're going to Utah this weekend, but the Rams maybe could tie with the Buffs on that record. So let's get into some of this. CSU goes to Hawaii. Let's talk football first. No Broncos this weekend, thankfully. CSU goes to Hawaii on Saturday. That was a late game. I stayed up for all of it. Yeah, it was a comeback. I mean, CSU made this valiant effort, made it interesting. They got it all the way down to 50-45 is what they ultimately lost by. But Hawaii scored 20 points on the Rams in the second. And then from that point, they were in the driver's seat until the fourth quarter. And suddenly, Colorado State goes off and scores 28 points in the fourth quarter. Trey McBride breaks the regular season receptions record for a tight end for Colorado State. So he's the best tight end ever do it for CSU. And they've had another good one. Joel Dreesen was really good. No touchdowns for Trey. No touchdowns in this one. I mean, Todd Sateo threw five touchdowns? And you're still not able to get Trey McBride a touchdown. He has one touchdown on the season. The best tight end in the country, which, by the way, it's his birthday today. So happy birthday to Trey McBride. Guy that's probably going to be in the first round. It's kind of sad, though, man. I mean, you look at one of the greatest football players this team has ever produced, and you're going to churn out a three-win season? Maybe four if you upset Nevada? I don't see that happening, though. We are going to bring on a friend of mine from Ram Nation, Joel Cantalamessa. He is an awesome guy. Ram Nation is a web page for him, where there are thousands upon thousands of Rams faithful, Rams fans, that have a lot to say about the football program in particular. Joel sat down with Athletic Director Joe Parker a few weeks ago, which has a lot of Rams fans upset because Joe talked kind of about the, you know, maybe you should change your expectations a little bit when it comes to a new coach. I wouldn't expect to make a move when it comes to Steve Adazio. So that's going to be a really good conversation coming up with Joel. Excellent guy coming up at the bottom of the hour. Our final Scott Patchen feature, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, starts on at 1 today. We're only going to keep Scott on for a couple of segments, and then we're going to let him go. He had a great individual game against Hawaii, but again, just wasn't enough as this team ultimately gave up 50 points. Scott had two sacks, four tackles for loss, and six total tackles. So, I mean, he was balling out in one of his final games of the season. I did go 4-0 on my picks, so I'm back up over 500, feeling fantastic about that. So we got to see. It's my last weekend of picking. I mean, CSU's done after this weekend, CU's done after this weekend, then Air Force is done, and then all we'll have is Broncos. So I need to make some good picks this weekend to keep us in a good spot when it's just the Broncos. Yeah, some other big news. My big story of the day, we don't have to do it because we're going to do the good, the bad, the ugly, but the Broncos just signed Courtland Sutton, re-sign him. So they signed Tim Patrick last week, and I was honestly very doubtful that they would sign both. But it was reported this morning that the Broncos got their contract done with Courtland Sutton. His deal includes $34.9 million in guarantees and will bring the fourth-year veteran $18 million in the first year of the deal. Four-year extension worth just under $61 million. So they got Tim Patrick locked up. They got Courtland Sutton locked up. They have Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler on rookie contracts. You think that they're going to keep Teddy Bridgewater as a Denver Broncos quarterback next year? They're paying out money to receivers right now. I'll bet you George Payton sat down with Courtland and said, we're going to go get you a guy. I don't know who it is yet. Is it Rodgers? Is it Watson? I mean, seriously, Watson's name is being thrown out there. Is that core of receivers that appealing to a free agent or, in Rodgers' case, a guy that will be traded, but it's going to have a lot of say in where he goes? And George Payton has accrued quite the draft picks that he could package in some sort of a deal. Here's something that our boy Cody Rourke, we haven't had him on in a while, Cody Rourke from Pro Football Network, he said this: Sutton and Patrick might not be like the most electric receivers in the game right now, but think of how many quarterbacks they've played with in the last 3 or 4 years. That's a really, and they've still produced pretty big numbers for that, and they're playing with guys like Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, Joe Flacco. I mean, those are the names that they've been dealing with for the last couple of seasons. So, I mean, that right there should tell you, I don't think they're the sexiest wide receivers. I thought Courtland Sutton was on his way until he got injured, and then this year I think he was still battling injuries. But they believe in those guys. That's a core on the offensive side of the ball. Eastside Chris texting in, Brady, Broncos wide receiver room is set now. Will top quarterback salivate to become the next Peyton in Denver? Hopefully we can get McBride at tight end to shore up the offense. Wouldn't that be something? But they ain't picking a tight end in the first round, right? They did that already with Noah Fant. So they'd have to hope that McBride falls to second, I would imagine. And I don't think McBride's falling to second. The only knock you have on McBride is the touchdowns. But if you watch one football game, it ain't because McBride can't score touchdowns. They don't go to him. Continuing on in the text, also, what coach is George going to go after to replace Fandango, given a JV receiver group? Your man Zach's probably correct. Fandango and Shimmer stay. We need a varsity wide receiver and tight end. So you don't like the wide receiver room. You're saying that the wide receiver room is JV? Listen, no wide receiver right now on the Broncos roster can be considered the best receiver in the game. Like I said, Sutton was on his way to being there, but he's not. Tim Patrick's really reliable, but he's not a guy you look at and say, oh, he's going to make all these miraculous game-changing catches. He's just reliable, which I really like. I really do like. Mysterio texting in, Russell Wilson? Oh, you know Russell's done with Seattle, man. That was rough for him yesterday against a... Raise your hand if you thought Colt McCoy was still in the league until about 2 weeks ago.
He's still in the league?
He's still in the league, man.
Really?
Yeah, he's still in the league.
And Colt McCoy's one of those, like, those guys who... He's like Matt Cassel. Like, Matt Cassel really shouldn't have been drafted that high, and yet somehow he was in the league for, like, 12 years.
Yeah, but Colt McCoy was, like, the big thing, and then just...
He was a big thing in Texas.
He just disappeared while he was in the league, hiding behind all these quarterbacks, and we're like, where is he? And then suddenly, oh, there he is. He's been playing for Arizona all this time for a couple of... Well, ever since, you know, obviously Murray goes down, and he's starting to get those opportunities. So, I mean, I didn't realize this guy until he started back up with this team once Arizona started having all these injuries. You know, I didn't realize it. But the last few, what, 5, 6 weeks? You got to be, they're at least keeping a float without their guy. Still one of the best records in the NFC. So, without Kyler Murray.
Is he one of those guys who's on the team because he can learn so quickly, or he's, quote, coachable? I hate that word, coachable.
I don't hate that word. That's a rare trait. That's a really rare trait to
yeah,
be
well,
coachable.
I know a quarterback who's very coachable, and he was awful.
Who's that?
Well, I'm not going to get into Washington football.
Oh, there you go. Nobody cares because they just lost to the crappy CU Buffs over the weekend. So.
Oh, they have a crappy team.
Yeah, they're both crappy.
And they had to fire their coach.
Yeah. So, yeah, nobody cares. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question. I know it's like a potpourri in this first segment. Power to Play Sports poll question. Are we seeing the best to ever do it as a Colorado State Rams basketball player in David Roddy? I mean, this guy is amazing. 65 points in the last two games, including an absolute stomp fest over Creighton. I mean, if you're bummed about CSU football, which you should be, it's almost over. You've almost made it through. Now you've got this Rams basketball team. They're playing in the Paradise Jam championship tonight and should win that. Start the season 6-0. Then they're off until Saturday and they play the UNC Bears. That just happens, Michael, to be my game of the week, CSU and UNC going at it this Saturday. So I'm pretty pumped about it. That's my game of the week. There it is. Oh, nailed it. It's not necessarily because of the matchup, okay? It's two local teams that we follow closely here. And I think UNC is a good team. They lose last night, though. They definitely have some work to do. I need to see more from Bodie Hume. But I think they're a good team. They play San Jose State tomorrow night, which you can hear that right here on 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. I'll be curious to see how they do in that game. And then they go up against this CSU basketball team that's just really good, that's probably going to end up in a week or two in the top 25. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Well, the good for me is I just talked about it. No question about it. This Colorado State Rams basketball team and David Roddy and company took it to Creighton over the weekend to punch a ticket to the Paradise Jam championship game.
0-for-4, though, today from outside. Roddy drives, finishes through contact.
We heard about this young man, David Roddy.
I meant to turn the music down. The bad is the Nuggets without Nikola Jokic. Well, anyway, that was great. We didn't get to hear the rest of the clip. But the bad is definitely the Nuggets without Nikola Jokic. They just got blown away by the Phoenix Suns. Can we get this guy back? What a rough outing for the Nuggets.
Cam Johnson now with 20 and a steal. Here comes Cam on the run. Hello!
Yeah, it's ugly. It's really ugly. Joker still hurting from a right wrist injury, and that's the thing. Even if it's minor, that's your wrist that you shoot with, you pass with, you do everything with. So until they get him back, yikes. Was it a four-game losing streak for the Nuggets? And finally, the ugly. This was a bad brawl in the NBA. LeBron James bloodies Detroit Pistons' Isaiah Stewart, and Isaiah Stewart just keeps getting more upset as this went on. He's bleeding. He's tasting his own blood. It's like a vampire. He tries to get at LeBron James. This whole sequence was nuts.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Stewart and LeBron. Stewart is hot. And everybody's coming out now.
Now, this is ridiculous. Yeah, he must have caught an elbow or something, but...
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of blood streaming from the side of the eye. Look, here goes Stewart!
Yeah, I think he's a little upset.
There it is, the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. That was wild, man. Stewart was unhappy. It took everybody to try to hold this dude back. It was crazy. Will County Swami says LeBron for prison. And that way, hey, listen, there's no reason there. That was not a basketball play. If an elbow is one thing, he turns and gets that hand almost slitting across the mouth there. So you can see why Isaiah Stewart was furious. Definitely went a little overboard, though. 20 minutes after the hour, short break coming up. We'll talk more about the Nuggets. More bad news on the injury front for this Nuggets team. Can they weather the storm and still stay in this thing? When is Joker supposed to be back? What about MPJ? Some bad news about Michael Porter Jr. We'll talk about it next.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man Brady Hall and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Got our game beer of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. They're always hooking us up over there. Great time on Friday when the Good Afternoon Guy, Brian Gary, was live and on remote. Our game beer of the week, this one's from Crabtree Brewing, the Oatmeal Stout. You get that for a discount at On the Rocks Liquor. They've got their regular hours on Thanksgiving, just so you know. They're open every day, 9 a.m. to midnight. They are keeping their regular hours on Thanksgiving, so you can check out On the Rocks Liquor. Tell them we sent you here from The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy. Some rough news for the Nuggets. Obviously, they are kind of in a downward spiral right now. They're sitting at 9-8, and they've played several games without the Joker now. Well, a couple of games without the Joker, and you're starting to worry about this team. You know, they've lost 4 in a row, Mavericks, Sixers, Chicago, and then they lose to the Suns last night. Without Joker, we've said it a million times over, this is just not the same basketball team. Not even close. So they obviously have to get him back. They're at Portland tomorrow night. That game's on TNT. That's an 8 o'clock game. Are you going to get him back? I mean, the wrist, he was working out at least before the warm-ups against Phoenix, and it seemed all right, but not a go. You know, you got Jamal Murray, who's tweeting out last night that, hey, put me in, coach. He's telling Malone he's ready to go in. We are begging for that, but we also got to be careful. He's not going until March. Can the Nuggets, maybe it'll be sooner, can the Nuggets stay afloat while they're waiting on everybody to get hurt? Then you get this story from the Denver Post yesterday from Mike Singer. Nuggets Michael Porter Jr. has nerve issue that could jeopardize his season, sources say. And you go back to a botched layup attempt when he goes up and he doesn't go up high enough and he comes down and messes with the back. Although Austin Rivers tells us, hey, that back was bothering him all season. He's 23 years old and he's had 2 back surgeries. 23. 2 back surgeries already. He got one of those was during his lone college season at Missouri. He was out for 4 months. The second came after the Nuggets drafted him when they picked him at number 14. So that's why he didn't play really that next year, that rookie year, because he was still hurt. I'm not real sure about this one, guys. The Nuggets just signed him to a max contract. You have to worry. You have to be somewhat worried about him if you're taking this thing seriously. You sign him to the long-term deal. This is a depleted team right now. Sitting at 9-8, you know, I'm watching the NBA move on past them here. You know, I'm seeing Golden State and Phoenix. These teams are all doing big things and acting kind of like they're contenders at this stage. The Nuggets are just, to be honest, they're treading water. They're treading water, and they don't have the Joker there. And if he's not a go, then this entire operation is going to be out of whack for a while. So rough stretch for Denver. They can get the Joker back, but then still, you're wondering, all right, can he and Barton do it all by themselves? And that, the answer to that's going to be no, because as good as Joker is, and as much of an improvement as we've seen with Barton being more of a consistent player, that I do think, you know, I do think you'll get to a point where you can win some games, but are you going to be a contender? And then again, you're really hoping that Jamal Murray is that can take that next step. Eastside Chris says, CSU UNC is a trap game. Bet the kid's college fund. Ugh. At least Joker's bump didn't cause blood loss. See, Joker's was nothing compared to what we saw in that NBA tussle last night. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Mysterio says, thanks a lot, global warming. What? With all the injuries? 30 minutes after the hour, Joel Cantalamessa going to join me from Ram Nation. He sat down with Athletic Director Joe Parker a few weeks ago. That was when it was still not as bad as it is now on the football side. Joel has a good relationship with Joe, so we'll talk to Joel about that situation, about that conversation coming up, and what the future of Colorado State's football program looks like. We'll get to that. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-five minutes after the hour, welcome back to the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. With us now on our First Advantage hotline, a good friend of mine, Joel Cantalamessa from Ram Nation. Joel, my friend, kind of an up-and-down weekend. The Rams basketball team's rocking and rolling, but that football team continues to be a major concern for all of us, right?
If you lose on an obscure internet station at midnight, does it really count?
That's actually true. I don't know, man. You could be right. That could be the positive we could take out of this.
Well, we are a basketball school. Everyone knows that. So it might be good to focus on basketball from here on out.
Hey, I think I'm with you, man. You got the Rams playing in the Paradise Jam Championship game tonight. So there's a lot of excitement. Nico Medved, Isaiah Stevens, David Roddy. I mean, this group is really good. And they're deep, too. So I think a lot of people are pumped about it. But, Joel, I wanted to get you on. You have a pretty good relationship with Joe Parker, with athletic director for Colorado State, right?
Yes.
And you sat down with him a couple of weeks ago and talked, you know, you guys, I loved the conversation, man. It was open. It was candid. I really thought Joe did a great job with you on that conversation as well. But as you know, Joel, you see more fans' comments than anybody. There were a lot of people that were not necessarily thrilled with some of Joe's comments about Steve Addazio and the future and expectations.
Yeah, you almost feel bad a little bit for Joe. I mean, since we started doing these monthly recordings with him, you know, kind of to let him give the state of CSU athletics and let us kind of ask as fans questions that we want to hear answers to, he's been more than gracious to come on and answer pretty candidly anything that we ask. We try to, yes, I mean, some of it is we're asking, we're truly interested in what's going on in the athletic department with certain programs, but we also want to know, like, when things are going bad, what's going through his mind? And, you know, so that conversation we did get into a little bit more, you know, tougher subjects, and he more than willingly answered them. Now, I don't think that he probably, I bet you he probably wishes he could have taken a few of them back, you know, and a lot of people on social media took and ran with some of his comments. I think they took them a little bit out of context from the standpoint of, you know, look, he was basically some of these comments that he was saying, like, look, you need to be accustomed to the pain and suffering of losing sometimes. He wasn't saying that as like, hey, just take it and bear it, you know, grin and bear it. He was saying that in terms of, look, we don't feel like turnover right now, changing the head coach is going to be very healthy for the football program, you know, change for the sake of change. You know, sometimes when you make a change, you got to have some patience. And that's what he was really saying. You know, it came out a little rough, I think. And I admit, you know, when I heard it, I was like, yeesh, that's not going to go over very well. But, you know, he really got the ire of some of the fans by saying, you know, social media isn't real and the way people act on social media isn't real. And I mute people on social media. You know, he was saying that not because he doesn't value the opinions of fans, but when you're basically sending him a message on Twitter saying, hey, effing idiot, you know, Joe Parker, why don't you fire the meathead football coach, you know, of course, do you want to hear that kind of rhetoric? You know, if you want to be constructive and, you know, offer some opinions with a rational head, then I think that's all he was saying. And I am not, I'm not a Joe Parker apologist, but I do know that you know, everyone makes him out to be the devil, that he doesn't really care about this place. The guy has had two kids go through school at CSU. He loves it in Fort Collins. He loves his job. He's trying hard to you know, everything else aside from football is really in a good place. But, you know, football is what everyone cares about. And right now, what are we, 14 games under 500 since he took over the AD job? It's not a good situation right now.
Yeah, it's not getting any better anytime soon on the football side. But, you know, I tweeted that out over the weekend too, Joel. I said something like, hey, the thing about Joe Parker is all the other programs are doing well. And of course, nobody wants to hear that. They go into, well, most of those weren't his hires and all that. Yeah, maybe so. Medved was his. But you're also giving the coaching staff the resources needed to be successful. So I know it's all about hiring and firing with a lot of people, but it's not like Joe Parker just comes in to hire coaches and then he goes to the Bahamas. It is constantly working on schedules and things like that with all these programs. So it's beyond just the hiring and firing aspect.
Well, for sure. I mean, you look at the track record, he had a big hand in finishing off the stadium, securing the canvas naming rights for the stadium, record numbers in fundraising and ticket sales, you know, early. Obviously, a lot of that had to do with the stadium. But there's all that stuff that really not a lot of people care about. And frankly, I don't necessarily care about. You know, he knows that right now I'm not happy with football and fans are not happy with football. And he will tell you that he is not happy with football. It's frustrating, and everyone's frustrated. They wanted to see quicker results. And I think that what is interesting to me is that he's so perplexed by this really, really angry mob of Ram fans who have had this horrible reaction to the performance of Coach Addazio and the football program. But I think I just don't think he's grasping, or even Joyce McConnell, when they made the hire of Addazio, I just don't think that they realized that, you know, people really wanted to be inspired by the hire. I think a lot of people obviously had their hopes in getting, you know, Tony Alford or an up and comer. And when they hired Addazio, who's got this kind of a lackluster career as far as wins and losses go, I mean, when I heard the news, I was a little dejected, quite honestly. You know, I came around once I heard him speak and heard his vision for the program. I got on board. You know, I thought, you know, this could be the right guy. And obviously, so far, it has not worked out. But I just think that's the biggest part of it. The reason you're seeing this reaction is that not a lot of people were on board with this hire in the first place. So he really needed to come out of the gates hot. And he's gone 1-3 and now probably 3-9 in his 1.5 seasons. So, you know, the other thing that Joe says that I don't particularly love, and I know it rubbed people the wrong way, is that, you know, he said that CSU has only had a winning season in 42% of seasons in program history. You know, so he's saying that again in terms of, hey, we need to be patient. But, you know, regardless, I probably would not be using that in my argument on defending the program, because, you know, just because we have stunk in the past doesn't mean we should stink going forward. I don't like rationalizing that way. And more so, in no other point in CSU history has CSU ever invested in football like they are now, with facilities, salaries, and all those things. So to me, what has happened in the past is irrelevant. And, you know, they're doing all the right things for football outside of, you know, finding the right formula or the right leader to get it done on the field ever since McElwain left 7 years ago.
Well, you're right. We're talking to Joel Cantalamessa of Ram Nation, who did sit down and does sit down with Joe Parker on a regular basis. And the last conversation they had certainly had Rams fans a little up in arms. But you're right. It's kind of like Dick Monfort with the Rockies a few years ago when he said, you know, you can't expect to be in the playoffs. I mean, once out of what, every 5 years, two out of every 5 years. And I'm starting to wonder if this state even needs a team. When you start saying stuff like that, you are, without, you know, putting a lot of thought into it, you are kind of saying, you know, you guys shouldn't be used to winning, so I wouldn't get used to it now. And that does rub fans the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Joe make the comment in the past as well, and it's, you know, if it were me, I would just say, look, this isn't acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to anyone in our football program. We've got to get it fixed, and we've got to get it fixed fast. It's not happening fast enough for us. We know it's certainly not happening fast enough for the fans. We're working on fixing it. We promise. You know, that's just leave it at that.
Right.
But, you know, but he's not. He's just to his credit. He wants to speak what's on his mind, and sometimes in being candid, he just went a little too far. They just said things that just were taken probably the wrong way, but you know, still there is some sentiment that I've heard him say it multiple times that I think he believes that, you know, we just have to be patient, and we're not a real patient society right now. I'm not either. You know, it's funny. I heard, you know, Mike Leach was interviewed about the rash of firings this year in 2021, and some of which have, you know, coaches and they're not even finishing their second year, kind of like Adazio. But he basically said people are nuts. This firing, this trend is nuts. And he said that he thinks that it's the addiction to machines, phones, you know, and instead of people communicating with one another and people making decisions based on their own independent kind of thought, it's just this like snowball effect of everyone seeing this negativity on social media and just spewing the same thought over and over. And it's just fire, everybody, you know, and he, you know, Mike Leach was saying, I just don't think that's very healthy. And I agree with that. When you see the behavior on Twitter, it's a cesspool, but you know, that doesn't mean that the opinions aren't valid. I mean, we're all wondering, is keeping Adazio the right guy, even though he's only 13 games into his tenure? I'm wondering it myself.
Well, yeah, and I think you mentioned Tony Alford. If you go that route, if you go with a young guy or not necessarily, you know, a guy that's not necessarily proven yet, but maybe he moves the needle for fans, Alford would have been that guy. They give you way more patience, too. I mean, yeah. Adazio comes in with a lot of football under his belt, and it's not a lot of good football. It's not a lot of bad football, but it's just mediocre football. So if you don't get off to a quick start right off the bat, everybody reverts right back to, well, that's what he did at Boston College. Why should we expect anything different here?
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Brady. I mean, if it was Alford, whether or not Alford was going to be a good coach or not, you know that he would not be getting this firestorm of criticism like Adazio is right now, because so many people wanted to give him that chance, and you're going to build in more patience with him. You know, but you also look at would people have gotten excited over a Blake Anderson, who Utah State hired? I think that he would have been a perfect hire for CSU. You know, his track record at Arkansas State, and then what he did at Utah State this season with a program that basically quit. They quit on their university last year. They cost CSU a football game because they didn't want to come out and play. They quit. That program was a dumpster fire. They are now, well, until this past, they're 8-3. Until this past Saturday, they were in the driver's seat for winning the Mountain Division and playing in the conference championship game. So he took that program. That just shows you that it can happen. It can doesn't require this brick by brick. Every location is different. Every situation is different. But CSU was obviously got a lot more to build, apparently. But what he did there in just less than one season is what I think people hang their hat on and say, look, it can happen. It can happen there. It can happen here. Why can't it happen here? And, you know, I don't think that change for the sake of change is smart, you know, but you see a guy like Gary Patterson fired. If there's not a more proven coach out there who's shown that he can take a team from the WAC to Conference USA to the Mountain West, to now then being courted by the Big East and then ultimately into the Big 12, where they've competed for years and now he's let go, surprisingly. If you've got a guy like that on the phone that you could have as your coach, for me, I would probably say let's go that direction. And, you know, I've seen I'm not necessarily to the point where we saying that we need to fire Coach Adazio, but if you got a guy like Gary Patterson who is proven on the hook, that's where I think, well, let's find a way to pay that $3 million or $1.5 million on January 1st and go get a proven guy like that. But, you know, I don't know. It's been a rough season, and everyone's tensions are heightened, and mine are no different.
Yeah, no, I hear you, my friend. And, of course, I love your outlet. I do. You know, the Ram Nation is so much fun since I became a part of it. It's allowed us to get our messages out for a lot of CSU Ram stuff, good or bad. I mean, I love hearing from the fans. I really do, because that's what makes the world go round. And yeah, some of them get a little too extreme, and you can understand why Parker might want to shut that out. But, Joel, I've got about a minute here. One last thing. If you had to play a prediction game based on your conversations with Joe, is Adazio back next year?
I feel like 100% he's back.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do too. Ram Nation again. Joel, how do people, if we got Rams fans listening right now, they want to get involved, what's the first step? Do they just go to the site and then get rolling?
Yeah, you go to ramnation.com. We have all of the news links for all the news about TSU on the, right there on the homepage. We have contests. And then the message boards is really what everybody cares about. So you go to the Rambling board is our main free athletics board. And go there. You can create an account and start posting, or you can just read all the hooligans on there and see how crazy some of us are. You mentioned it, Brady, that you know that it, people get extreme, but I will say that at least they're still here and talking about CSU. It's the ones that just bail and don't come back. Those are the ones you're worried about.
That's why we need the media. That's why we need you, Joel, us here, the folks of the Colorado one. And I know Adazio's kind of been at odds with some of them. We have a good relationship, I think, with Adazio, but I've been harping on this all year. I know he gets frustrated with questions and he lashes out sometimes, but sooner or later, there's going to be outlets that just say, I'll go cover CU. I'll go cover UNC. I'll go cover the Nuggets if this is how we're going to be treated. So you're right. This is ultimately, it's better that we're talking about it rather than ignoring. So hopefully we can mend some fences, and maybe that comes with a few wins next season, and the media and Coach Adazio all just become best friends.
That would help. Winning always cures a lot of things, Brady.
Yes, it does, my friend. Joel, appreciate you, dude. I love what you do. I love that outlet, and we'll look to catch up with you soon, okay?
Hey, thank you so much for all your coverage of the Rams. It's so good for us Ram fans, bud. Appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you, my friend. That's Joel Cantalamessa of RamNation.com. I'm telling you, if you're a Rams fan, if you're kind of a Rams fan, that message board is a blast. There are some damn good hooligans on there. There are damn good Rams fans on there that you guys do your work, your homework. I mean, I asked the question, our Power to Play Sports poll question today, is David Roddy the best? Are we seeing the best CSU men's basketball player ever? And you guys are just dropping knowledge, dropping stats, dropping everything. I love it. Those are the sports fans that make these shows and everything go round. So do your research. Bring your takes. Bring your written stuff. I love it. Keep it coming. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. UNC Bears, a little struggling on the basketball side yesterday. We'll talk about that when we come back, as well as more on Colorado State. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
If you want nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Eric calling in from Fort Collins, giving us an update on a traffic accident at Riverside and Linus. Three-car traffic accident right now. Traffic is backing up badly. Is that correct, Michael? Is that the right information that we got out there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that call. If you guys have traffic updates, let me know, man. We'll get those out. Call us on our First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310.
It's actually LeMay. So I texted that to you.
It says Linus.
That was autocorrect.
Okay, LeMay. I was like, because I live in Timnath, and I'm thinking to myself, where in the hell is Linus? But I read what you say. I am the Ron Burgundy of radio. If you type it in, I'm going to say it.
I hate my paperweight of a phone.
It happens. All right, second hour coming up. Let's see if we can catch up with Scott Patch and crazy schedule. A lot on Joel's conversation, too. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.